everyone, this is Deneen White. Welcome to Hollywood Mindset TV. Today I'm really excited to have a very special guest on the show. Her name is Gina Smith. Gina is an actress, a model, and a singer. And I've had the opportunity to get to know Gina over the past about year or so, and her growth has been exponential. When I first met Gina, she was super shy and soft-spoken, and now she is someone who walks in and commands a room. So I'm really excited for her to share her story with you and how her mindset has shifted and how her confidence has soared. Gina, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being on today.
Hi, Deneen. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. So before we really get into the interview, I just want to explain to everyone just a little bit about Hollywood Mindset TV and what our story is. So we've been working with people in the entertainment industry for a long time. And something that we've realized is a lot of people put the cart before the horse. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is there are so many people who are getting into the entertainment industry and they're more focused on getting an agent or a manager than focusing on the things that are really important, which is like booking work, actually making money, and then getting the mindset that makes a manager or an agent actually want to work with you. So tonight we're going to talk to Gina about where she was before she met us, where she is now, and where she's planning on going in the future. So Gina, let's get started by telling everyone just a little bit about your background. Like, where were you before you met VIP Ignite?
Okay, so my name is Gina Smith, but I think that was already established. I'm 19 years old, and originally I'm from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, which is a really small town, kind of about an hour and a half away from Pittsburgh. You may know it, you may not. But after I graduated high school, I moved, and now I go to college at Florida Atlantic University in Boca Raton, Florida. And my goal was originally just to kind of get away from Johnstown. And then once I got here, I came here for business to get my bachelor's in business. And I always liked event planning and was interested in event planning, and I still am. But just over time, it faded in me, and I got a little bit lost, and I didn't know what I wanted to do or why I was even where I was. I just kind of lost myself. And then my gram, actually, she passed away in December. And she left this letter, different letters for all of her closer family. And mine just specifically told me to chase my dreams and dream big. And I just figured it was time. And that's when I found VIP Ignite.
That's awesome. So let's talk a little bit about your involvement with VIP Ignite. I know you've been to a couple different events. So the first event that you went to, I believe, was it a photo shoot in Miami, or was your first event the mastermind in LA?
No, it was the photo shoot in Miami. Okay. Literally the first week. Like, I did my interview with Alicia, and the next day she was like, hey, you're going to a photo shoot this week. Get ready.
So before you went to that photo shoot, had you ever done a photo shoot before?
No. Like on my own with my friends. Nothing like that.
Well, tell me a little bit about what that was like for you. I mean, that must have been crazy. Like, hi, I signed. Oh, by the way, I have a photo shoot in 10 minutes. Like that's a fast action taker. Can you talk to me a little bit about what was going through your mind when you were like heading to a photo shoot?
Yeah. So honestly, I was still at the time very shy and insecure. And I kind of threw myself into this. Like, I just had the gut feeling. And I was like, you know what, you're going to do it. And so the whole way to the photo shoot, I just kind of was like, what am I going to do? What if I mess up? How am I going to talk to these people? I don't even introduce myself to people on campus. Like, how am I going to talk to these random people at a photo shoot that are so fabulous? And then there's me. And there was just so many different things going through my head, but I was nervous, to say the least.
So it sounds like you had a lot of insecurities when you first got started.
Yeah, I did. Just about, honestly, me personally, I was insecure about pretty much anything or everything, just all at different times. Like, it would just hit me differently and randomly. But I was insecure about pretty much everything.
Okay. Well, what was it like actually going to your first photo shoot? Were you able to overcome those insecurities? Or, like, tell us about that.
So, actually, a big insecurity for me was because the photo shoot took place in the beginning of February, I believe it was, or it was the end of January. And actually, in January, the same month, or not the same month, a couple months before that, I had my back surgery. So I was still very stiff. And I was nervous about what I was going to be doing with the photo shoot because I knew I couldn't turn too much. But also me being very shy, I didn't know how I was going to be able to tell that to the photographer without panicking. And, you know, I probably would have just tried to do it anyway and been sore later. Mm-hmm. But when I went into the photo shoot, I was very nervous to begin with and I was shaky, but I took a friend with me. I didn't go alone. Just so she was my roommate, actually, so that she was there with me. Okay. And her being there and the photographer was Eaton Klein. He's awesome.
Yeah.
He just made me feel so comfortable. And he had two other people there with him as well who were just helping conduct the photo shoot. They were awesome. So as the photo shoot went on, I got more and more comfortable. And by my last look, I didn't really want it to end. I was just having so much fun that when it was over, I was like, oh, dang. I gotta go. But it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. So what did you learn by going and doing something that was pretty hard for you? What did you learn? What lesson or what mindset lesson did you take from that?
So I just pretty much summed it up to be, even though I was terrified and my nerves were shot and I was thinking of every possible thing that could go wrong, just kind of had to push myself in and just make myself do it. Kind of like a roller coaster in an amusement park. Like when I was younger, I would do the same thing with those. My sister dragged me onto a roller coaster this one time and I was crying before I even went on. The guy controlling it literally looked at my sister and goes, does she want to get off? And my sister's like, no, she's fine. Went on, we get off, and the freak, can we go again? Was the first thing I said afterwards. And that was exactly how the photo shoot went. It was just kind of like, even though I'm afraid to do something, if I just do it, I mean, I don't know what the outcome is. I can't be afraid of something that I don't know.
That's awesome. You can only control the controllable. So I'm really proud of you for doing that. That's awesome. That's a great lesson for anyone to learn.
Yeah.
Awesome. So after that, then you shortly thereafter flew to California, right? For another mastermind and a photo shoot out there as well, correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the mastermind in California was a lot more intense because there were a lot more speakers and different things like that. So what was your biggest aha moment when you were in California for that first mastermind?
Honestly, I think it was the day that we were all sitting and listening to all of the speakers come up and talk. And I was just kind of thinking and running, a bunch of stuff was running through my head and I was taking all my notes. And it just kind of hit me that, like, I need to do more than what I'm doing. Like, yes, I'm learning and I've made a lot of growth, but I need to make bigger moves or else I'm just going to stay at a steady pace. I need to up the ante. I need to do something. So that's whenever the thought of, like, moving came into play or, like, what else can I do to get myself out there and get myself, you know, noticed and having followers or everything with the social media and just everything like that. It made me realize that I need to step it up.
Okay. Now I remember your photos from that photo shoot. And there was one photo that where you looked like you were like a superhero. So let's talk about your experience at the second photo shoot versus the first photo shoot.
Okay. So there was a huge difference. I mean, obviously the locations.
Of course. It is Hollywood.
Yes. But I was a lot less nervous. I had myself more mentally prepared, physically prepared. I mean, I got a good amount of rest before the first one. But, I mean, with the time change especially, I got more rest than I needed because I knocked out early because of the time change. And I accidentally slipped through my alarm to go explore downtown. So I missed that night of exploring, but I got extra rest for the photo shoot. And by then I had met people with VIP Ignite, so I wasn't completely like, I don't know anybody. Mm-hmm. But just me personally, I changed so much within that amount of time that I just wasn't as afraid anymore. And I was ready to go talk to people and, you know, get them to get to know me. Mm-hmm. And it just went so much better. And then the pictures obviously turned out
amazing.
better. Yeah. I liked the pictures from my first photo shoot, but obviously if you put them side by side, there's a huge difference in like how I'm glowing, like how I'm posing, my face. I don't look as tense and nervous and like, I don't know, it's just a difference.
Yeah, I saw a huge difference too, because I remember that one photo. I was like, Gina, you look like you should be like in an action movie. And you're like, Deneen, that's one of my goals. I was like, what? Looks like you've achieved your goal. That photo shoot was, it was like night and day. Like I wish I would have thought to like show the before and after photos, because they were absolutely amazing. So you said that, and I'm guessing that the photo shoot tied in with the action that you decided you wanted to take in the mastermind, because I'm sure you felt the difference in the photo shoot and then the mastermind, you felt like a call to action. So let's talk a little bit about your call to action. You said like you felt like you had to really start taking steps. So what kind of steps did that spur you to take?
So right after that event, the thing, it gets blurred now because I've been to a couple events. So I'm trying to remember, you know, chronologically what what came first. But I believe right after that event, I came back and I got enrolled in acting classes right off campus, not too far, just a little bit down the road. Mm-hmm. In acting classes, I was on every coaching call in the 30-day coaching. Like, it would have been the death of me to miss a call. I was on the SAG after YouTube and watching YouTube videos and taking notes on what they were saying. I was doing that all the time. My mom was literally looking at me like I was crazy, because I've never had that much drive into something that it's literally sucked my whole focus in for an entire day. Like, she was looking at me like, are you okay? Like, there's something wrong, or what are you doing? Let's go out on the boat. And I was like, no, I'm watching this video. I gotta take these notes. And she was just looking at me like, okay, bye, see ya, we're going out on the boat. And I would just stay home. So it was just, after that first mastermind, it was really, for me, it was about honing in on my craft and just really getting better at it, so that I could then go on to backstage like I started doing and sending myself out for student film auditions and short films and just stuff in like the Miami area and the areas around me. Nothing major, nothing too big, just something to get me started and get into the feel of what it's like to be on set and what it's like to be in that atmosphere. Because I've never, growing up, I was a cheerleader. I wasn't in the plays or anything in high school because we weren't allowed to be if we were cheerleaders, because it had conflicting schedules and it didn't line up. And my heart at the time was with cheer. I was a cheerleader for my whole life. So that's where it stayed. But, I mean, it worked out.
That's awesome. And during that time, too, weren't you in a film? You were on. I remember you being on set. So can we talk a little bit about what it was like to actually be on set in that film?
Yeah, so that was a short film in Orlando. It's called Shaky Ground. Actually got nominated for the Key West Film Festival. And it's going to be in it in this month, actually in November.
That's pretty huge.
I know. I mean, I was an extra in it, but being on set, it was so cool. It's like, it's everything I thought it would be, because the scene that I was in, we were in a courtroom and it was just the big lights and the light retractors, like to reflect off different things, and the big cameras. And what was really cool for me is watching them do the scenes, because it really showed how imperfect we can be as humans. And even in this industry, in this job field, it's acceptable. It's like, I think pretty much every actor who went, and they were with big scenes, they had to do it more than once because they forgot a line, or they, you know, stuttered or did something they didn't like. And I mean, nobody judged them. Everybody was just like, and everybody was encouraging them too. I remember the one actor was really struggling and everybody was like, you know, like, come on, you can do it. And just being in that atmosphere, it gives you a family sense. And it's weird because you're not with these people all the time. And even as extras, especially as extras, you're not there every day that they film. But it's still, you get such a family vibe. It honestly reminded me of cheerleading. It gave me that, like, family feel, and I loved it.
That's awesome. Didn't you go to a premiere or something for that movie recently, and you got to meet someone? Let's talk a little bit about that. That's pretty, that was a really cool story. Share that story.
Yeah, okay. So the film, the short film that I was in, was based around the Stand Your Ground law and about how it's flawed. And for those of you who don't know, the Stand Your Ground law is pretty much based around if somebody comes at you and you shoot them in self-defense, you're not at fault. But it's always, you know, just by hearing that, you can tell that there's flaws within it. So that's what the film was based around. And I went to the premiere for it recently, which took place at FAMU Law in Orlando. And Trayvon Martin's mom was there, which was so cool. It was, honestly, I didn't know she was going to be there, and I didn't know it was her at first. So we sat in the room and we watched the film. And then afterwards, there was a panel, and people from the community were there as well, and they could ask questions. And we're sitting there, and there were a bunch of different people on the panel. The director was one, Jason Holmes, and there were a couple other people, and then she was there. And I remember hearing her name, Sabrina Fulton, and I knew it was ringing a bell. I couldn't put my finger on it, and she kept talking, and she didn't get emotional or anything. Wow. Just talking, and then I heard her say, like, my son. And that's when it clicked, and I was like, oh. And I took my roommate to the premiere with me also, and we looked at each other, and then we looked back, and we looked at each other again, and I was like, we were whispering each other, like, and she was like, yeah. And it was just, it changed the atmosphere in the room. It made it feel so much heavier and, like, serious, and granted, it was. But once I realized who it was, it hit me more. And I think it hit me more especially because Trayvon Martin's case specifically, we studied a lot in school when it happened in my political science class. We watched the trial when it was on. We discussed it all the time. Just all of it while it was going on. And the area that I'm from specifically back home, it's not the best of areas when it comes to, like, gun violence and things like that, and I've lost friends and people I've known to gun violence, and it seems to be getting worse as time goes on, which is really, like, it's heartbreaking, because to see your hometown turn into something worse than it's ever been, and you have no control, like, there's nothing you can do, and you have really good friends back home who are stuck in the middle of it, it's scary. So for her to be there, it was just, I don't know, it hit different. And I actually went up and I talked to her after everything, and I explained this to her and just explained to her how frustrated I was. And I didn't expect for all these emotions to come up, and they did. Yeah. And I was explaining to her how frustrated I was that, like, I'm here in Florida, I'm watching all this stuff happen, and I'm seeing my friends get hurt and be upset, and And even if I was there, I have no control. There's nothing I can do. Yeah. And she grabbed both of my hands and, like, looked me in the eyes. And that's whenever I'm an emotional person. It's like, I was like, oh, God. The tears started coming down. And she just told me, she's like, you just have to know that there's some things we cannot control. And all we can do is just go with the flow and do what we can. Because, you know, there's not much we can do. We can't be everybody's hero. That's specifically, I remember, that's what she said to me. And I don't know, it was just so impactful and powerful and emotional. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. So for me to just be an extra in that short film and get that experience for my first time ever being on set, never being in anything, it was just, I don't know, it gave me so much more drive to be like, okay, this is just what I want to do. Like, I'm in the right place.
Yeah. Now, as I'm hearing you say, I'll talk about this, because I've never heard the story as in depth as you just gave it to me now. Do you have more of a sense of destiny almost about your career since that was your first film?
Yeah, I think I do.
Yeah, because that's the word that just kept coming up over and over in my head as you were talking about that. And that we're not allowed to cry, so if we but as I was listening to it, that like that's the word that kept coming up. Like, this is a sense of destiny. Like, so many people, like, their first time being on set is like Law and Order or something that's fantastic. I mean, who wouldn't want to be on Law and Order? But like, there's such a sense of destiny, like, that's tied between your first film and that. So I mean, that's really powerful. It's super powerful.
It just a lot because it touched home. Mm-hmm. And it's really like, when I make it, that's really what I want to do. I want to help home as much as I can, because there's nobody back home. Like, they do have people who help the community and who really do try. Mm-hmm. But there's only so much you can do with what you've got. And back home, that's not much. So if I can do my part, you know, that's just what I really want to do. And that's when it hit me even more. And literally right before I went to the premiere and met her, one of my really close friends, her brother, who was also my friend, but I wasn't as close with her brother as I was with her, was shot and killed over the gun violence back home. And I was talking to her and everything about it. It was just a really emotional time. And it was hard because I grew up with them. Like, he was my friend too. We just weren't as close. Mm-hmm. And it was just, when I found out, it was just unrealness. Like, that hit was like, it didn't feel real. Yeah. It's like, wow. So just everything happening when it did and connecting the way it did with what I want to do with my life and my career, it just all kind of lined up. And it seemed like the universe was kind of telling me, like, this is what you need. This is your destiny. This is what you need to do.
That's awesome. So something I love that you said that, again, encapsulates the mindset of Hollywood Mindset TV is you didn't say, if I become successful, then. You said, when I become successful, then I'll be able to do X, Y, Z, and or you'll be able to help your hometown. And I think that is so impactful and so powerful. So let's talk a little bit about your mindset, because I know you've been doing a lot of mindset work. Like, I think you and I are like probably like we could go toe to toe on our minds at work, but I know you've been doing a lot, and I've personally witnessed your mindset change so much. Like, I feel like every time I talk to you, I'm like, who is this person? I think I literally say that to you nearly every time I talk to you. Like, who are you? But let's talk a little bit about that mindset shift. Like, did you have that same mindset? Like, when you went to Florida, you wanted to get away from your hometown and you wanted to do business. Like, how has your mindset shifted being a part of VIP Ignite? And I'm talking about the entertainment industry, but I'm talking as a whole, because you are literally a completely different person today than you were when I first met you.
Oh, yeah.
And your mom and I had several conversations about that in Hollywood, which we'll talk about in a couple of minutes. But like going through the coaching and all, like, so many people, again, like I said at the beginning too, so many people, like, they're so focused on getting an agent and doing this and that and the other things. But the thing that I'm finding is that people like yourself who are focusing on their mindset, then success comes a lot more easily to them. So let's talk about how the coaching like has helped you with your mindset.
So honestly, the coaching, my mindset, yeah, it's not right. Mindset shift happened the first week, I think, within the first couple of weeks. And it started with the first call. It shifted a little bit because I was just opened me up to so much more than what I had already known. And then Antoinette Stratton had her call. And I will forever be thankful for this call because it's literally what completely 360'd my mindset. She started talking about the affirmations, so the I am and I will, but more focused on I am than I will, and the vision board. So I did both of those things, which was kind of weird for me because, to be honest here, I don't like school. I don't do homework. So, but when it came to this homework, I was like, this is so cool. Why not, you know? And I actually didn't even know. I did know, and I had forgotten, and my mom brought it back up, that my stepdad actually, he's big on manifestation, and he had done a vision board a while back before he had gotten his place in Key West in the boat. Mm-hmm. And his boat was one of the things on the vision board, and now he has his boat. So he's big on all of that as well. So once I got into it, it kind of got everybody back into it in the house. So it was just a different energy all around. Yeah. But especially, I think, coming from me specifically, I was a lot more goal-oriented. That's what it did. Mm-hmm. And I still do it now. Like, I actually just finished a new vision board for me moving to New York. Awesome. So that one's specifically geared toward what I want in New York and things I look forward to in New York. But yeah.
Yeah, that's such a powerful, that teaching that Antoinette did, it's so powerful. I've yet to talk to anyone who watched her call. It was called Create a Vision. What she did, like Gina said, like she explained like why you should create a vision board, how important visualization is, and then also affirmations and like writing things down and just being really aware of everything that you're saying and that you're doing. And it's amazing, like the people that have put that into practice. I've yet to meet one person whose life hasn't been changed in some way by doing that. So I love that was like, you're like, yeah, so the first call was where the mindset shift started. So that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I actually have my vision board right here.
Oh, look at that. She came with prompts, everyone. That's awesome. Is that for New York?
Yeah. See, up here, where is it? It says moving to New York City.
That's awesome. That's fantastic, Gina, because I mean, one of the awesome things about Gina is like, it's been less than a year and she's already making plans to go from Florida to New York. So let's talk a little bit about your trip to California, and then we're going to fast forward to you moving to New York. So you went to the photo shoot, you rocked it, you went to the mastermind in LA, and like you all of a sudden you got a call to action. So now you find yourself in LA a couple months after that first mastermind. So tell me what your biggest aha moment was when you were in Hollywood the second time.
So in Hollywood the second time, my biggest aha moment was, okay, my mindset really matters. I think that's what it was. Like, oh crap. Like, I knew it mattered, but honestly, personally, I would say that it's the most important thing. If this is what you want to do and this is the industry you want to be in, you've got to have the mindset first. I mean, that's pretty much it. Just because the atmosphere and, like, okay, I've got to be mentally prepared for this. I've got to know that, like, no matter what happens, I'm the best me that there is, and I have to believe in myself. Because just because somebody else doesn't believe in me, doesn't mean that I don't have what it takes.
Yeah. That's a phenomenal answer, because I mean, I think so many people want to mold themselves into what they perceive other people to want them to be, but it's so important to be your authentic self, because people are looking for authenticity and people want to work with people who they know are truly who they are. Like, yeah, they want you to be moldable and they want you to be teachable and coachable, but they also want you to have that sense of self so that you don't go off the deep end. Because it's amazing how many people get started and they get started, they're going full on, and then all of a sudden they just like, okay, I need a timeout. You're like what? It's because they didn't have that sense of self that you're describing.
Yeah.
So we have New York coming up in a couple weeks. How are you planning on preparing differently for New York than you did when you went to Hollywood a couple months ago?
Okay, so differently? I have to say, I'm trying to get myself ready to be more social. I was really social at the last event, but I want to be even more at this one than I was at the last one. Yeah, I want to talk to everybody. I want to be the one to approach people, because I was at the last event, but a lot of the time I would just wait and like, please just come up to me. Please just come up to me. But I want to help people this event. I don't know why, but I want to, I don't know. I don't know what satisfaction I get out of helping other people, but I want to help other people believe in themselves, because I really like teaching people about their mindset and just how important it is and what they can do. And I love watching people have breakthroughs and see like them finally believing in themselves. I actually did that recently with one of my friends. She was just in a very depressed state, and I literally made her start doing the affirmations, and I was like, no, like, go in the bathroom right now with your notebook and look in the mirror. And she literally told me a couple of days later, Gina, this really helps. Like, thank you. And she never thought it would. So it just gives me so much satisfaction. I really want to do that more this event than I did the last event. I kind of just stayed to myself last event and branched out a little bit. But this time I really want to do it.
Awesome. It sounds like you want to be a leader at this event instead of someone who's just a participant. You want to be a leader.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Very cool. So we only have a couple more minutes. So tell me a little bit about your plans after the event in New York. You alluded to it a little bit that you're going to be moving to New York. So let's talk about how that transpired. That's pretty huge. Can you hear me?
Okay, now I can.
Okay.
Plans after New York, right?
Yeah, so I'll edit this part out. Thank God for it. So you alluded to it a little bit that you're making plans to move to New York soon. So can you talk a little bit about the plans and how that transpired?
Yeah, so it took a lot to come to the conclusion, okay, I'm going to move. When I say it took a lot, life decisions are hard, really hard. A big, I don't know, for me was LA or New York. And that was huge for me because I want to be in LA. I love LA and I can't wait to get there. But the New York conclusion, it's smarter, especially me being from PA. It's smarter to start there. It's more cost efficient. I have a little bit more connections in New York than I do in LA, especially roommate wise and, you know, getting a job, things like that. So I think New York is kind of like my stepping stone. So my stepping stone to get there, and then I'll go to LA. But the whole process was just a mess. Honestly, it was.
It was bananas. We could be honest.
Yes. I was so lost. I mean, there was times where I was just depressed for like days because I did not know what I wanted to do. And then just me being me, other things were popping up. Like, if you don't know what you want to do, like, do you really want to do this? And it just made me start questioning everything and questioning myself. So I kind of just had to take a break and stop asking everybody else for advice and reevaluate myself and figure out what I wanted and what I want for my future. And New York just came up as the best. It came up as having the most opportunity for me right now.
Yeah.
And just the best small move to make before the big one, especially because I'm new to this. I don't have prior experience. I haven't been in any commercials as a kid or, you know, anything like that. So I'm a baby when it comes to this stuff. But New York is still a huge step. And it'll be my first time like being on my own, actually. So being at college, I'm on my own, but I live on campus, so I have the campus stuff to rely on. Mm-hmm. But New York will be my first, like, all right, you're an adult now. Honestly, I think I'm afraid of that, of growing up.
Well, you have to grow up soon. You can't be Peter Pan and stay a child forever, so... And the cool thing is, too, is, like, you have a support system. Like, you're not just going there alone. Like, I'm only 2 hours away. So if you're like, Deneen, I'm like, okay, twist my arm. Let me get on a train to go to New York City for a couple hours, you know? So the awesome thing is about like working with us is like with VIP Ignite is that you have a support system built in. So not only do you have us, but like you said, you have people in New York that are part of the company that I'm sure that you're going to be like being roommates with and stuff like that. So like you do have that support system. So I just want to wish you the best of luck. That's going to be a phenomenal move. Like we'll have to do another show like a couple months out or even a couple weeks after you move to New York City, because I can't wait to see this brand new Gina. I mean, I love this Gina, but I can't wait to see the brand new Gina like just pop out. It's going to be amazing. I'm so proud of you.
I know, because I mean, I know I'm myself right now, and honestly, I have not been like this or smiling this much for
been a while.
It's been a while, and honestly, it's school. It's me being somewhere where I can't thrive. So I'm really excited to see my mood shift and my attitude change and just everything when I'm actually where I can thrive, because I haven't really been yet. Like I was a little bit at first, but even being in Florida, it's really hard to, you know, go after everything, because without being in New York or LA, you can't really go for the big things, you know, the big stuff.
Yeah. Well, now you're going to be able to focus on your dreams in a way, because you won't also be pulled between school and your career. So that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I'm terrible at this. I want to start, you know, having consistent content on my YouTube once I leave school, because I'll have time. Mm-hmm. That's my problem. Right now, I don't have time and I'm trying to come up with stuff and it's either not good or I don't have the time. I have to do papers and homework and Shakespeare.
You're still going to have to do Shakespeare, just so you know.
That's okay, but Shakespeare in school is just different.
Okay.
Like, act out Shakespeare, interpret it, I could do that all day. But if you want me to write a 7-page paper on Shakespeare, that might be a little hard.
Well, you're going to be doing what Shakespeare intended for his work to do, and you're going to be able to bring it to life now. So that's going to be phenomenal.
That's the goal.
Awesome. Well, Gina, our time is up. I just want to thank you so much for being on this episode of Hollywood Mindset TV. It was a pleasure to talk to you. And again, I can't wait to have you back on the show, just so that you can continue to share your tips with people. Because again, your mindset, like I said, exemplifies exactly what the goal is here on Hollywood Mindset TV. We want every episode, we want to share mindset tips on how to be successful, and you are living proof of that system. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having me. I had so much fun, and I can't wait to come back on again in the near future.
I know, it's going to be fantastic. And for all of my viewers, I hope that you enjoyed this episode with Gina Smith, and make sure that you keep following along with us, because we have a lot of great guests that are lined up over the next couple of episodes. So make sure that you tune in, and I can't wait to see you again on our next episode of Hollywood Mindset TV. Thank you so much for watching, and have a great day.